Welcome to the Rehab Your Life podcast. I am your host, Karen Malone, and I'm a certified rehabilitation counselor. My goal is to help you realize that no matter what you have been through, you can rehab your life. I will be sharing stories of women who have overcome medical challenges just like myself. We will talk about medical trauma, setting SMART goals, holding each other accountable, and spiritual growth and development, and more. I'm looking forward to growing with you on this journey this year. And we will get started in just a few moments. This episode is brought to you by I Run On Oils. Owner Carolyn Todd is an independent wellness advocate of doTERRA oils. Have you been struggling with your mood, skin, or hair? Could you benefit from learning how to use oils to boost your immune system, strengthen your hair, and clear up your skin, and more? Try I Run On Oils. Speak to independent wellness advocate Carolyn Todd today. Check out their website. It's a bit.ly/I Run On Oils. Welcome back to another episode of the Rehab Your Life podcast. This is episode number 5. I have a guest today. Her name is Jewel Johnson. She is going to be sharing with us her journey with breast cancer. Jewel, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. How are you this evening?
I am fantastic. Thank you so very much for having me and allowing me to share my journey.
You are more than welcome. You know, I like to have this platform to be able to share women's stories and be able to just glorify God. So you have the floor, ma'am.
So as Ms. Malone said, I am Jewel Johnson, and I've had quite an ordeal just trying to navigate the waters of the word cancer. So my diagnosis is triple negative breast cancer. And that just means that it's a subset of breast cancer that does not have any of the normal receptors, estrogen, progesterone, or HER. So that thus comes the name triple negative. It's a more aggressive form of breast cancer. It's very hard to treat because there aren't any really targeted therapies that have been developed just yet. A lot of research is still being done. So that in itself, that was a little tough for me to wrap my head around because I'd never heard of it when I got diagnosed. So I got diagnosed in December of 2019. I had a lump in my breast, and I have dense breasts. So I just figured that, you know, it was just a cyst that would normally pop up. I've been going for years, and the doctors at Houston Methodist had been watching for years, and sometimes I'd have to go every 6 months.
And that's how it is for most African-American women. They say we have dense breasts, and so, you know, we have to go get the evaluation done multiple times. So you were probably thinking that this was just a regular old, you know, just new, you know, getting it done again.
That's it. And I thought the lump would go away like it normally does. Sometimes it shows up, sometimes it didn't. And so it didn't go away this time. And by the time I did make the appointment to see my primary care, he felt it, and it was advanced. By the time he felt it, he knew, and he sent me right away. So it, you know, everything just happened so fast when you hear the word cancer and you get that diagnosis and you find out what it really is. Everything moves really quickly. Some days, it's a blur. I can't remember half of the stuff that happened. I took someone with me. I took a lot of people with me, actually, that first appointment to document and to remind me of things. So my son went, my ex-husband went, my pastor and his wife. And interestingly, I met someone through my business partner. Well, actually, I never met her. She was on the phone. I was on the phone with my business partner. My business partner was at church, And this lady overheard her talking to me and praying with me before they went into Bible study. And the lady snatched the phone from her. And she says to me, "Hallelujah. Thank God you are healed, baby girl, and you are my cousin because you're going to MD Anderson." And that's how I ended up in MD Anderson. I'd never met her a day in my life and didn't meet her until my first appointment. And she was just, God sent me who I needed because I just could not find comfort in that diagnosis until I talked to her. And when she showed up and I met her, she provided so much insight. She worked for MD Anderson. So she and everyone there is just so wonderful. But she was an angel. God sent me who I needed at that time to give me the comfort and to help me navigate the emotion of it all. And so she showed up at my first appointment and she helped, explain some things to all the other parties who were there because they were looking just the same as I was looking once they heard, my diagnosis. They were like, "What does that mean? And what do you mean she has to do all this stuff? She has to do 16 rounds of chemo. What do you mean she's going to have to do 30 rounds of radiation? What do you mean she's going to maybe lose her breast? Maybe not. You don't know." So everyone was so surprised and just taken back. And she was there to help buffer the blow from what the doctors were saying. So I'm just all I can say is I'm humbled and I'm grateful that God sent someone my way because I just could not, like I said, I just can't even say that enough. I could not find the comfort in that diagnosis. But as time went on and I got to know, people at MD Anderson, this is prior to the pandemic. So I started my treatment in January of 2020. And God put it on my heart. He told me, "This is what you're going to do." I found these books. He says, "You're going to declare and you're going to decree every single day you're healing. You're going to speak that every single day. Declare, decree that you are healed because by my stripes you are healed." And I had this book of declarations that I use and I still use and I share it with everyone I know. And so I would just go through my declarations every day. And then I got referred to MD Anderson's integrative medicine department. And one of the classes, I was just in between appointments, and one of the volunteers, she just drugged me. She's like, "You need to go to this class." She had the same diagnosis I had, but she was in her 70s and she was 15 years out. And she's very encouraging. She would make me my tea every day I'm there. And she's like, "Go in this class right here, right now. It's about to start." And the class was about spirituality. And there were all denominations in that class. At that time, like I said, it was before the pandemic. It was when people were coming from other countries to MD Anderson. So you had Muslims, you had Hindu, you had Buddhism. I don't know the name for that, I'm sorry. But all different denominations. And the premise of the class was you must have a relationship with the higher being. And that was just, and I was shocked because I never knew that, okay, Western medicine, they just don't address things like that. So that took me, by surprise. And it was a wonderful, wonderful class. And that set me on a path of peace. There were so many people in there who were battling similar situations, and they didn't tell us, okay, you're going to tap into Christianity, you're going to tap into this. Like, they would ask us, who is your higher power? And for me, I'm like, "Oh, that's just Jesus Christ." And everybody's like, "Okay." And then some people would be like, "Well, that's Buddha." And we just all embraced it because you have to have a higher power to guide you through something like this, to guide you through life, period. So that led me on a path of peace. I just can't say enough about the services I've received. Since the diagnosis, and I'm still receiving services. And it, I had to be my own advocate, of course. And I had to really be self-aware of what my needs were. Because initially, and I'll step back a little bit, initially when I got diagnosed by Houston Methodist. And the first appointment I went to, It was during the holidays, so of course a lot of doctors were off, and they were just like boom, 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 boom. And then I asked them, I said, "Well, okay, well, what other holistic approaches do you have?" And maybe I didn't word it properly, or I don't know. And the doctor just looked at me and she said, "Holistic." And so, like I said, thank God sent me Miss K. Her name is Miss K, my angel from MD Anderson that was at my my business partner's Bible study that night. Because when I got to MD Anderson and I asked them about it, and they was like, "Oh yeah, we have integrative medicine. We have alternative therapies to help you through some of the symptoms you may have, and we have whatever you need." And I'm one, I've always eaten healthy, and I try to eat right, and didn't drink. I drank wine, prior to my diagnosis. It wasn't a heavy drinker or anything. Never smoked, nothing. And when I walked into integrative medicine, they wanted me to see a nutritionist, and I was shocked by that. I was like, "A nutritionist for what?" Well, because we don't know, with triple negative, we don't know what the cause of your cancer is. It could be the food. It could be, the environment. It could be stress. It could be. So they just asked me a bunch of questions. And when I first met the nutritionist, she's like, "Okay, are you alkaline?" And I've been following, because I follow doc I used to follow Dr. Sabi's therapies, and I ate alkaline a lot, drink alkaline water. And so to hear a doctor ask me about that and tell me that I need to alkalize, I can't say the word, my body, that was another plus. And so, I'm glad I can share this because I want people to know, men and women who have breast cancer or who have encountered breast cancer and know that there's always a probability of recurrence, is that there is a holistic approach. Yeah, there are Western traditional standard of care medications, but in conjunction with a healthy lifestyle and in conjunction with praying, meditating, whatever it is you do to connect with your higher power, all of that goes into play. And I say that because I'm here and I'm a living testimony that is true. Because after three rounds of chemotherapy, and that was my first course, chemotherapy, and I was scheduled for 16 rounds, and I did 16 rounds. But after the third round, the tumor shrank. By the time I got to round six, there was no evidence of a tumor. I had also two lymph nodes that tested positive for cancer. Then they looked at the lymph nodes. They're like, "We don't see anything." And so, but we continued on with the treatment. And it's like, "No, we're going to continue on. We're going to do all 16 rounds. We're going to do everything because we don't want, we just want to see where you're going to be. We want to see what your marker is going to be after we do all of this." So I know that, connecting with the Lord, taking time to pray, taking time to do those declarations. Oh, they had me exercising every day. I had to walk a mile and a half every day. A mile and a half every day. So that the medicine can get my body. And I drink a gallon of water a day. So I got my steps in by going to the bathroom. And still went out to walk every day. And they had me in physical therapy. They did so much to keep my mind where it needed to be. I had a psychologist, a psychiatrist, an acupuncturist, a massage therapist. So they kept me comfortable. I can say that I never got nauseated. I never had any pain other than at the end. I did develop neuropathy because I refused to stop the treatment when they said, "Okay, if you start to feel something, we're going to stop." And I was like, "Nope, don't stop. I just rather have the neuropathy. Just keep going." But they kept me moving. They kept me eating right. For every symptom I had, the nutritionist, I would get on the, send them a message. "Okay, I'm having this symptom." And they'll say, "Okay, stop eating this. Now we want you to eat this." So I think the first two rounds, I just didn't have any white blood cells, none, almost zero. And I'd have to go every day. They didn't want to keep me in the hospital. So I'd have to drive to the medical center every single day until my count came back up. And
Wow.
so they still wanted me to walk out those corridors, even though my count was down, and still show up every day to draw that blood until my counts came back up. And then when usually they come back up by the day four, and then it's almost time to start again. So they did everything they could to keep me comfortable, and they did a wonderful job. And I just thank God that, he gave me the peace about it, because I remember talking to my business partner, because she's also a survivor, and she had to have her breast removed. This was she's I think like 15 years now, and we were talking. I was outside walking and just crying, crying, crying. I said, "I can't do this." She said, "You can't do what?" I said, "I'm not doing any of this." She's like, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "I'm not going to do anything." She said, "So you're just going to wait and die?" I said, "Yeah, I'm not doing this." And it wasn't until she was at church that day and Miss K got on the phone. And when I was greeted at MD Anderson, the first thing they said in the imaging department was they called my name and I went in. And the ladies at the door just screaming, "Well, hallelujah, girl, you are healed, because we are a praying department." That's how they greeted me. That's how they
Wow.
greeted me in imaging to do the biopsy and everything. So I was like, "Okay, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. I'm gonna go through this, because you have obviously sent all these people, all these God-fearing people, and you have spoken to me saying, 'Girl, I got you. I put these people in place. I gave them the mind that they have to develop this medicine and these
Right.
treatments. So trust me, I got you.' And I, girl, I finally got rid of the fear. I mean, it comes and goes. Yes, it does. It comes and goes. But I'm still, holding on and doing my declarations and still declaring every single day
Praise the
that I'm
Lord.
healthy,
He
I'm
did not
healed.
give us a spirit of fear.
No. And he said that, he's going to fight our battles, and I'm letting him fight my battle. So I'm grateful to be able to share this, because I want to give other women hope who may have triple negative breast cancer, or in the future may be diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer, because it's a very it's very just it's discouraging to hear that there aren't, therapies for it, and they're still developing therapies, and the only thing the doctor told me is, let food be your medicine. I am not on any medications
Oh,
except for the hot.
wow.
I just couldn't take it anymore. They finally gave me a low dose pill for the hot flashes. So, but other than that, no medications. And I just eat.
Praise God.
Yes, that's
So, are
it.
you
Eat,
still dealing with a
exercise.
neuropathy pain or anything?
I am. Yes. Every day. Some days I feel it, some days I don't. Depends on what's going on. It's there, and when the weather changes, when it gets cold, then I can feel it. In the summertime is great. I just feel numbness, but praise God, I'm here. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll take neuropathy, but I'm declaring and decreeing that that's going to leave too. So it's not going to be here
Amen.
forever. Yeah. Yeah, it's
Amen.
going to leave too. So
All
yeah, I'm
right.
just grateful for you
So,
having me here to share.
oh, no worries. I'm appreciative that you had time to be able to talk with me. And so we're going to go into my seven powerful questions is what I call them. The first question is, are you a spiritual person? So of course you came out the gate with the answer to that one, but I like to ask that one because not everyone is. And so elaborate a little bit about how important it is for you to have this relationship with God.
So, I mean, I've always had a relationship with God. Just a really quick story. When I was 15, I used to go to my family's church, and they were Pentecostal, and I decided I wanted to try another religion. So I went when I was 15 years old, decided I was going to be Baptist. And so I got baptized. It was just me and Jesus, no family members, no one. And so that was my journey into spirituality, because I said, okay, Lord is telling me to do this. You know, he's telling me you don't have to get approval from anybody. I'm your approval. You go ahead and give your life over and you get baptized. And so that's what I did at the age of 15. And so my mom would always say, like, oh, you're different from the other kids, you know. So I would never do anything out of, you know, character. And she would always say this, you were just one of the better kids. You were different. You know, everybody else was just, you know, they run amok, even though they were in a Pentecostal church and they were just doing all kind of stuff. And I just could not do it. But, and I realized back then that was my beginning of developing a real relationship with the Lord. You know, you don't know when you're 15 or 16 years old that spiritual connection. You know, you have to still get, you know, your baby, you're on milk, you're getting the word, you're learning, and it takes a lifetime to learn sometimes. But I did have another encounter with God. I had a surgery back in my early 20s. I had fibroids. And I don't know what happened. I went to the beach or something. The doctor told me, oh, you just go, you know, get some salt water. And anyway, so I started hemorrhaging and because I had the fibroids removed. And anyway, went to the hospital. I mean, I woke up that night. I thought I was urinating, but it was just blood running out. Just blood. Oh, wow. And I was so calm because the night before I had a dream that I was talking to the Lord in my dream, and he said, you know, he's asking me about my life again. Are you willing to sacrifice your life? Are you willing to, you know, give up your life and maybe, you know, who you need to be in Christ? And this is the conversation I'm having in my dream. And I said, yeah. And he said, okay, well, you know, you're going to have to die for me one day. I said, I'm ready whenever you're ready. It was the best feeling of my entire life. Wow. And I woke up gasping for air. And then I remember saying out loud, I told you I was ready because I thought that he was going to take me. So the next day at the hospital, when I'm bleeding like crazy and the nurses run off and leave me in the hall bleeding, standing up, blood's running everywhere. I was like, this is it. And it was so peaceful. I was like, this is it. And then it wasn't it. I'm still here. I said, that was another encounter with the Lord. And he's been preparing me to have this relationship with him my entire life. Wow. For such a time as this. So yeah, long story short, yes, I'm a spiritual person. I love the Lord. Yes.
I love it. I love it. I have that quote on my wall in my restroom where it says, you know, perhaps you were created for such a time as this. And we just never know when such a time as this is.
Exactly. Exactly.
So question number two, what have you learned about yourself while going through your challenges?
Oh, I would say that I learned that I'm vulnerable. Because I was such a boom, boom, boom. Okay, get it done. And okay, got to be this way, got to be that way. And, you know, just real tough. I had to grow up tough because I had to raise my siblings. And, you know, I was disciplinarian for my siblings, for my kids, because my husband didn't discipline them. So I was a tough one. Mm. And I learned that I'm not so tough. I'm just not. I'm vulnerable. So that's the biggest lesson I've learned.
Okay, awesome. And vulnerability is so important.
It is
so important.
It is. I've learned that without the vulnerability, I can't truly be who I'm meant to be. Mm-hmm. And that was eye-opening for me. But of course, I had to learn that through MD Anderson and going through counseling, which I go to almost every week now still. And they're like, they want to put me out. And I was like, I'm not going anywhere. They're like, okay, well, join the group there.
So question number three, how have you experienced the grace of God during this season?
From the moment, I think from the moment I walked into Houston Methodist to get the mammogram after my primary said he felt a lump. And even then, they embraced me. And I guess they knew just from looking at it, they knew. And they embraced me and everyone along this journey has shown me the grace of God. I just, every medical professional I've met, strangers at MD Anderson, strangers just when I didn't have any hair and would just look at me and say, I'm praying for you, because they knew. Yeah. And then having eyebrows, eyelashes, nothing, but they knew. And so I've experienced God's love and grace through this entire journey, through every individual that I've encountered. And, you know, in times like, you know, the times we're living in now, you know, there's so much going on, but what I've experienced is nothing like what we see in the news. I can tell you, I mean, the grace of God, the love, and the, oh, that's just God. That's just God.
Right. Right. Amen. All right. Question number four. I know you're familiar with the fruit of the Spirit, but I'm going to still read all nine of them. Faithfulness, self-control, patience, goodness, gentleness, joy, kindness, peace, and love. And different translations say them differently. In what ways do you see the evidence of fruit in your life?
I can say I see patience. That was the first one I thought about, because, like I said, you know, there was a time when I didn't have patience because I was just so disciplined, at least I thought I was. And I would pray for patience. Got my prayer answered. So I can see myself now and say, can honestly say that I'm a lot patient, a lot more patient than I've been in the past, in my past life, because this is a new life for me now. Peace, joy, love. That's an everyday thing. And I can honestly say and be transparent that I didn't have that prior to my diagnosis. The pressures of life and kids and family and work, and I let all of that consume me. Where now I've opened myself up to being and just basking in everything that the Lord has. I mean, I go outside every morning and open that garage door, and I'm going out to get in the car, and I can hear the birds. I never heard birds prior to my diagnosis. I see a squirrel run across, or I see a leaf that's a very different shape or color, and things that I've never seen prior to the diagnosis. And then I look at it all as, and I sit and talk. Sometimes talking to the leaves. Hello, God. Wow, look at how beautiful you made this leaf. You know, so, and my kids think, oh, there she goes.
I do the same thing, though. I do the same thing. You know, I was driving one day, and I'm at the stoplight. And, you know, it's so busy, intersection. And I saw a bird snatch the worm out of the ground. And it was like, but in that moment, to be able to see that, that lets you know that God provides for the birds. You know, why wouldn't he provide for me? You know, and so just those little things, you're right, being present and in the moment is much more palpable on this side than before.
Absolutely.
So definitely. So question number five, what kind of support did you receive from family and friends throughout your challenges? And I like to ask this question because I like to provide people with tangible examples of how they can then maybe help a friend or a family member who's going through. They might be like, I don't know what, if I can do anything. But then by listening to the podcast and us sharing examples of how someone might have come to the house and made dinner or they cut the grass or they paid a bill for us or, you know, so are there any tangible examples that you can share of how your family and friends or even strangers, you know, helped out?
I received a lot of help because remember we were in the pandemic and remember when toilet paper was scarce.
Yes.
So there were people from my church that just used to pick up toilet paper for me.
Okay.
And that was a huge burden off my family because they didn't have to go scour the stores trying to find toilet paper when they needed to get me, get me water, which was another thing that was sort of hard to find. But I remember telling one of my cousins, she's in the military. I think she's in the army. Excuse me. Hold on. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. So she's in the army in San Antonio. And I called her and let her know what I was going through because I needed masks. And there at that time, that was when no one could find masks.
Right.
So she called all over the U.S. We have cousins everywhere. And plus, she's in the military. So she called all these bases. Next thing I know, all these masks kept coming in the mail. I still have tons of masks because everyone from all over the U.S. in the military and my family sent me masks. And wow, that was so, so important to keep me from getting COVID. Because like I said, I didn't have any white blood cells. So, and my husband ended up getting COVID. And then he had to go stay at a hospital. So we had friends pay, I mean, not a hospital, hotel. So we had friends pay his hotel stay for a month at that time.
Oh, wow.
And because we didn't have the money because I was, you know, paying hospital bills and everything. So people really stepped up to help us with what we needed the most. Toilet paper, water, mask, and then that hotel room.
Wow. Awesome. And, you know, just during COVID, everything was so crazy. So I couldn't imagine you going through this during COVID. You know,
yeah,
that's nothing but the grace of God. Nothing but the grace. So question number six.
After.
Right.
A year after I finished treatment.
Right. But you made it through that. You made it through it. Yeah. Because they were making it seem like if you had underlying health conditions, that it was a death sentence.
Right.
They were definitely making it seem like that. So thank God for his grace. Question number six. Do you have any words of wisdom for someone who may be going through something similar?
My words of wisdom would be to trust in a power higher than yourself. If you don't have a relationship with the higher power, then that's what you need to make it through this. Those times with God, that's all I had. That's all I had. Even though my family was here, you know, kids were here, God is all I had, really.
Yep. And those still quiet moments.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can remember one night, everybody was asleep. It was New Year's Eve because everybody was just so worn out. And so it was just my husband and I home. The kids couldn't come by because of COVID. And so I just turned on music and just danced with God. New Year's Eve by myself, just me and God.
Yeah.
There was nobody, nobody, just me and God. Turned on my gospel music and just danced.
Yeah. Awesome. I've had those moments. They're the best.
They're the best.
Question number seven and last question. How do you plan to use what you have been through to encourage someone else?
Yeah, that is a good question. I started posting my workouts. This was I think I was going through radiation at that point. I was doing the radiation treatment. So that was, I think, September 2020. And so I would post my workouts. And that was at that time, I was ready to tell everyone that I had cancer. But it wasn't until I knew that I was in remission. I just needed to fight alone. So at that time, I said, okay, I made it. Let me just help some other people. So I started posting my workouts, and I would post some of the food I was eating and just encourage people, you know, to, you know, do what they need to do to take care of themselves, and to know that you can make it through it and that you're able to do all of this while you're doing treatment, because, you know, that's something that, you know, a lot of people don't know, is that with other integrated medicines and modalities that you can survive this. So I need to get back to my workouts, because I do the workouts, but I don't post them because I'm at a gym now. I have a trainer. And so now, you know, MD Anderson want me to lift weights, heavy weights. So that's another workout they started me on. My goal is gym lifting heavy weights. To combat the osteopenia. I don't have osteoporosis, but I have osteopenia right now. And it's just too much to drag the equipment into the gym. So I may just start doing my weights at home and then I just post those. But I need to start back posting to encourage on social media and just be transparent about, you know, what I've gone through and giving others hope that they can get through it as well.
Right. Right. Awesome. And, you know, social media is such an awesome platform to be able to do that, where you can touch multiple people, millions of people, and don't even know it. But just like how that woman was on the phone and overheard your situation, and then really that was nothing but God. This is a platform for that same reason, where, you know, someone in Illinois may hear your story. Someone in DC, someone overseas may hear your story, and or be diagnosed with the triple negative, just like you, and thinking that they are the only one. And now they know that they're no longer the only one. So I appreciate you being candid and transparent and as bubbly and joyful as you always are, you know, just being able to see the joy of the Lord on you and feel your spirit even coming through the video. I know that this is going to be uplifting to someone. So thank you so much for sharing your story and taking out the time.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you. I'm praying that this is going to help someone. And absolutely, if you run across anyone that has the triple negative diagnosis, you can refer them to me and I'll be there to hold their hand through it.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Renew You Body Butters. Renew your skin, renew your life. Renew You Body Butters is a handcrafted luxury skincare brand that seeks to heal you and your loved ones, one application at a time. So if you suffer from eczema or other skin conditions, try Renew You Body Butters. And just for Rehab Your Life listeners, there is a special code, RENEWYOU20, for 20% off your order, and you get free shipping on orders over $99. Go to RENEWYOUBODYBUTTERS.com. This episode is brought to you by my books, Lose to Win and Nothing Can Stop the Promises of God, Not Even COVID-19. They are both available on Amazon.com, and please consider switching over to smile.amazon.com and add Rehab Your Life as your nonprofit of choice that you would like to support in 2023. That's one way that you can support the organization with your everyday shopping. That is smile.amazon.com and at Rehab Your Life as your nonprofit. Thank you in advance. Thank you for tuning in for our very first episode of the new year. Be on the lookout for our upcoming events, and we hope to see you back again soon. Talk to you guys later.